Often it is said that we should learn something every day. Sometimes people say it somewhat facetiously, but I think the fact of the matter is that as long as we are living, we ought to be growing and learning. Certainly the Bible teaches us the concept of growing in our Christian lives, and we need to be learning. We want to look this morning at the subject, taught by God. Are you actively being taught by God? In Psalm 25, in verses 3 through 12, the psalmist says, "Yea, let none that wait upon thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." God is actively trying to teach people his ways. He's trying to teach us to better follow his ways each and every day of our lives. The question is, are we learning what he's teaching? Are we listening? Are we paying attention? And you see, whether we're learning or not is up to us. There is no teacher on this planet that could possibly be a better teacher than God himself. And if he is teaching the lessons, then the lessons are perfectly taught. But any who have ever tried to teach someone something know that no matter how well a lesson is taught, unless it is received, unless it is absorbed, and unless it is learned by the student, all the teaching is in vain. So the question before us today is, are we wasting God's time? Is he wasting his time trying to teach us when we won't learn? The Bible talks about those who refuse to learn, who will not learn. Peter talks of those who ever learning and yet never coming to a knowledge of the truth. They're always there, they're always being taught, but they're not actually getting to the point of the knowledge that they should be gaining. John 6:45 is our scripture for this week. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Some translations actually translate that where it says taught of God as taught by God. And that's what the psalmist was talking about. Letting the Lord teach you. Now, I know there are some in the religious world today who think that God's going to speak to them and tell them what to do. And he has spoken to us. The Hebrew writer talks about the fact that in times past God spoke through the prophets, but now he's spoken to us by his Son. And yet, that's not the only teaching that he does. We want to look at some ways that God teaches us this morning. And some times that God teaches us. Some circumstances that he uses to teach us if we're willing to learn. And that really is the point, are we willing to learn? Because we cannot be taught by God if we're not willing to learn from Him. But God teaches us in successes. When we're successful at something, God is teaching us to do that again. Philippians 4:9 says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul also says, "But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." When God tells us to do something a certain way, and we do that way, and it works, and we're successful at that, we need to learn from that, that that's the way we should do it again. And that's the thing that we should do again. And so when we are successful, God teaches us in those successes. However, more often, God teaches us in failures. I know when I was playing sports, our coach would always say, "You learn more from your losses than you do from your wins." Because when you lose, you see the things that need to be corrected. When you win, you may gloss over the mistakes that you made and ignore them because you say, "Hey, I won." So when we're successful, maybe we overcome a temptation. Maybe we break a bad habit. When we're successful at that, we may ignore the weaknesses. We may gloss over the points where we could have done even better. Because, hey, we won. We were successful. It worked. And so while God does teach us in our successes, He teaches us more in our failures. Because it's in our failures that we realize the depth of our need for Him. You see, in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, God told the children of Israel, and He warned them, "You shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations of the land you are going into." You shall not learn. Don't learn the things they do. But then, according to Psalm 106 and verse 35, it says they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. You see, just God telling them wasn't good enough. They had to be hard-headed and they had to go figure it out for themselves. And they failed to do what God said. If they'd been successful, that would have been great, but they weren't. They failed. And in their failures, God taught them. Oh, they suffered because of their failure. They went into bondage because of their failure. But they learned because of their failure. Some other examples would be Peter in Luke 22 and verses 32 through 34. Jesus says, "I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." This was after Peter had been so bold in saying that he was never going to deny the Lord. But Jesus says to him, "And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you shall thrice deny that you know me." Peter learned more in those three failures about himself and about faith and about pride and about falling. He learned more in those three mistakes that he made right there, those three sins where he denied Jesus those three times. He learned more there than in all the successful things he did throughout Jesus' ministry. And he was able, after he was converted, as Jesus called it, after he came back, he was able to strengthen the brethren. And he was able to be one of the strongest, staunchest proponents of the gospel that there could have been, because he had been on the other side. He had denied and he had come back. But God also teaches us in everyday experiences. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27, We see Laban saying to Joseph, to Jacob rather, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Took Laban a long time to figure that out, but he finally learned from his experience that, you know, when Jacob's with me, things go better because God's with him. There are a lot of things that we may learn from our common everyday experiences. We need to look at these things that occur to us and learn the lessons that God is teaching us through them. In Matthew chapter 13 and verses 3 through 9, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And we know that parable of the sower, don't we? He sowed the seed, and some fell in these various different places, different types of soils, and those all represented things. But you know, Jesus used just a common everyday experience, something that they were familiar with. And then at the end he says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are we listening to our own life experiences? Now certainly, people go too far with these things sometimes. I remember a study with one young man. He told me, as I showed him some things in the Scriptures and what the Bible said about being a Christian and how to become one, and he said, Well, I don't care what you show me in that Bible, I know what I've experienced. Well, if we have experiences that contradict the Bible, the experiences are the thing that's wrong, not the Bible. But still, we can learn from our experiences. Certainly, we better learn from them. The 12 steppers, AA and other groups like that, you know, they say that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. We should learn from our experience. If I punch the wall and it breaks my knuckles, then next time after my hand has healed up again, I shouldn't punch the wall again. It wouldn't be a good idea. And yet some people keep doing the same thing over and over. They never learn from their experiences. If I stick my hand on the hot flame and it burns me, then the next time I see a flame, I should know not to stick my hand there. Do I learn from my experiences? God begins teaching us from the very earliest moments of our life with these experiences. And yet, are we learning those things? Sometimes, and part of that, those everyday experiences, God teaches us with pain. The Bible talks about God chastising those whom He loves, His children. Sometimes there are painful things that happen in our lives that are for our ultimate good. They may not be pleasant things at the time, but they are beneficial to us. Psalm 119 and verse 71, the psalmist says, It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good that I've been afflicted. It's good that I've suffered that pain. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, Paul says, Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, because Paul was given a great many revelations, more than most others in the New Testament. That's why we have so many of the books that are written by him, for example. But these revelations, he said, there was a temptation with all those revelations to be exalted too highly, to be too puffed up. But he said, There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a pain, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again, Paul tells us there that the suffering, the affliction, was good for him. It benefited him, and it showed God's power, and he was able to learn from God. Hebrews 5:8, speaking even of Jesus, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience through the things which He suffered. Suffering and pain is a great teacher. 1 Timothy 1:20, Paul speaks of Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. They needed to learn that lesson. And it was the hard way, because they had not learned it the easy way. Just like the children of Israel, who were warned and told not to do something, but they didn't learn, and they did it anyway. And they had to suffer the consequences. We need to notice the fifth thing, that God teaches us in our struggles. In struggles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 through 11. Paul says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayers for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, many thanks may be given by many on your behalf. So here Paul again talks about these struggles they were going through in Asia, a very difficult time in life. And yet he said, the point of it all, the point that we learned from it, was not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God. Sometimes we have to go through the difficulties in order to learn a lesson. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8 and 9, Paul again says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." He says again, through all these struggles, we've learned to keep our faith in God. We have all these problems, but we're not distressed, we're not in despair, we're not forsaken, and we're not destroyed, even though all of these things are happening to us. Because he had learned to trust in God. We have to learn. In the sixth place, we want to notice that God teaches us by repetition. Now, it'd be nice if we always learned the lesson the first time. And I don't know, maybe you did. But if you did, you're a rarity. Most little children, when they're first beginning to learn to walk, don't just go from crawling to standing up and walking without falling down, do they? They stand wobbly and fall down several times. They stand wobbly, take a step or two, and fall down several times. Eventually, they get to the point where they can stand and walk fairly well most of the time. But that needed some repetition, didn't it? They had to try and try and try again. And it's the same way with us in our spiritual lives. It would be nice if we learned something the first time. If God could just say it one time and we got it, no need to, read the Bible through one time, know everything, can live the perfect Christian life. Wouldn't that be nice? But it doesn't work that way. For one thing, we don't remember half of what we read when we read the Bible through. And then we have to go back, and we have to read it again, and we have to study it, and we have to learn what it means. And it takes repetition. In Acts 10, verses 11 through 17, Peter saw the heaven opened, and a vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now notice verse 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men from Cornelius made inquiry at Simon's house and stood before the gate. So even after he'd seen it three times, God telling him the same thing three times, he was still wondering what it meant. It shouldn't surprise us then that sometimes we can read a passage three times or more and still be wondering what it means. Sometimes it's repetition, repetition, repetition. And if you need to do it again, more repetition. It can be a good thing, and certainly it's one of the ways that God teaches us. And one of the ways that we learn. We talked at one time about the kindergarten class, and first thing of the morning, or whatever their schedule is, but every day they say their alphabet, ABC. Maybe they sing the song, the ABC song, and maybe they count up to 100, and over and over and over again. It might seem a little boring, this repetition. And yet it's a very useful way, because most of us, after having done that for a year in kindergarten, remember how to count to 100, and we remember our alphabet for the most of the rest of our lives. But the repetition drilled it into our heads. And it's the same way with God's Word. Sometimes people say, well, I just can't remember the Scriptures. Repetition. 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 That's how you remember something. There are a few brilliant souls who have what I would term a photographic memory, and they can look at something one time and remember it. Most of us aren't that person. We have to have it repeated again and again before we get it. But then we see that God also teaches us when we ask honest questions. The Bible tells us to avoid foolish questions and vain discussions. But there are honest questions that we need to be asking. In Acts chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch are there, and the eunuch asked Philip, "Of whom speaks this prophet? Of himself or of some other man?" He asked the honest question. He didn't mock Philip. He didn't just say, "Oh, I know what this means already." Sometimes we're ashamed to admit we don't know. We need to ask honest questions. If we don't know, we need to ask. And when we ask those honest questions, we can get honest answers. Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And we need to take the opportunity to teach others when they ask honest questions. But if we haven't asked the questions ourselves and haven't learned the answers to those questions ourselves, how are we going to answer them when other people ask? So we need to learn to ask the questions and seek for the answer then. God is not going to always just drop somebody in our lap that knows the answers to all those questions like He did with the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. Sometimes we have to go seeking the answers. But Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find." If we'll seek the answers, we can find the answers to our honest questions. Then we want to notice that God teaches us through the least likely of people. It's not always the teacher or the preacher or someone who seems to be so knowledgeable, the doctor or the lawyer, that does the teaching in our lives. Sometimes we expect that. And yet Jesus, in Matthew 18, 2-4, called a little child to Him and set him in the midst. And He said, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We need to look for the unlikely places to learn things. We would have never thought, well, we need to be, let me go look at the children and see what I should be like. Jesus had some lessons we could learn from those children. In Luke 18, verses 10 through 14, Jesus tells of two who went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. You know, the Pharisee, he's the righteous man. Surely we can learn something if we watch him and listen to his prayer. But no, Jesus says, it's the publican that you can learn from. Oh, but nobody was paying attention to his prayer because they thought he was just a worthless sinner. Ah, the unlikely sources. Now, even Jesus himself, he was the unlikeliest of teachers. He was a carpenter's son. He had never been to any of the great rabbinic schools. He was born in a barn. He was poor and from a despised town. In fact, in John 7 and verse 15, the Jews marveled when he read the scriptures, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" They didn't even know how he could read. And yet, he was the ultimate teacher, but the least likely in their expectation. You see, we don't always learn from those that we expect to learn from. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They should have learned. They learned something. They know, hey, those guys have been with Jesus. But they should have learned more than that. They should have listened. But they were too haughty. Sometimes that's been a problem in religious circles. One of the struggles that the church had in our country in its beginning days was the fact that most of those that were preaching the gospel, well, they didn't have fancy degrees from seminaries. They were just your common, everyday person. Farmers, hunters, workmen who had decided, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell people what the Bible says. But you see, they hadn't been educated. Kind of sounds like Peter and John, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like the way people viewed Jesus in his day. Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with being an educated person. But when we allow that education to go beyond what the Bible says, we've missed the boat. And some in our society have certainly done that. As one preacher used to say, it takes years of expert help to misunderstand some of those Bible passages. And unfortunately, a lot of people have had years of experts helping them to misunderstand those passages. Probably the most obvious way that God teaches us, and the one that probably was the first thing that sprang to your mind when I talked about learning from God and being taught by God, was that God teaches us with a scripture. Oftentimes, the scripture is the thing that does the teaching. And certainly, everything needs to have a basis in scripture. John 5 and verse 39, Jesus told them, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The king was commanded in Deuteronomy 17, long before they even had a king, God prepared for the time they would have a king, and he said, when you do have a king, here's what it's supposed to be. It shall be, Deuteronomy 17, 18, and 19 says, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, and out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. The king was supposed to keep a copy of God's law and read it every day That didn't mean he had to read through the whole thing every day, but he was supposed to read from it every day. You know? If that was good enough for the king, how about us? Do we learn from the Scriptures? It is amazing to me how many people claim to be taught by God and yet they never open His book and read it. It is the primary way that He teaches us. Oh yes, we can learn from experiences in life. We can learn from other people who tell us things. But how will we know if other people are telling us the truth? Paul said those in Berea, Luke wrote in Acts that those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things they were being taught were so. We need to be searching to see if what we're told is true. Otherwise, we get swept away. Because the wisdom of man's words often sounds good to us. But sometimes that wisdom is not God's wisdom. Sometimes it is worldly wisdom, and it is not right. And then the last thing that we want to notice is that God teaches us in nature. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, David says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." See, David says, you can learn about God just by looking around you. Just look up at the sky, and it'll declare to you the glory of God. Now, it won't tell you how to be saved or how the church should worship or any of those things, but it will tell you if you look and if you learn that there's a God. Romans 1:19-20 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," talking about the things that God has created. "For God, people, particularly saying in the people, because God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He said, there is no human being on earth who can stand before God on Judgment Day and use as an excuse, "You left me no evidence to believe You existed." No. Paul says, no, they know, because He is seen everywhere in His creation. His eternal power and His Godhead are clearly seen through the things He has made. There's no excuse. And so we can learn from nature. In fact, the Proverbs writer says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Need to learn how to work by looking at the ants. There are many other examples throughout the Scriptures about nature and things that we can learn from nature. As we conclude this morning, we want to consider what Micah said in Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. "Then many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Micah prophesying about the beginning of the church. And one of the things that people were to do was to go to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us. The house of the God of Jacob is the church, Paul told Timothy. "I've written these things that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God." This is the house of God. And we need to learn His ways. But we also need to be ready to teach others His ways. He teaches us, and we need to help teach others also. And then we need to walk in His paths. So it doesn't do much good to learn something if we don't live by what we've learned. And yet, so many times in the religious world, and even within the church, there are what we might term intellectual Christians who have studied and learned, and they're very knowledgeable, but they aren't very practical. They know a lot about what the Bible says, but they don't do a lot of what the Bible says. We need to put some shoes on the knowledge we have and get to walking according to that knowledge. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning, if you're not a Christian, to become one, just as that Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, what is this talking about? And Philip preached him Jesus and eventually got to the point where the Ethiopian eunuch realized he needed to be baptized to wash his sins away. He was ready to repent of his sins. He, in fact, did confess Jesus as the Christ and was then buried with Him in baptism to wash his sins away. And you can do that as well. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been learning from God as you should, maybe you've been neglecting your studies, maybe you've been refusing to learn from some of the various things that we've told you, oh, I don't want to learn from that person or from that, I'm going to keep doing it my way. Now you need to correct that this morning. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation, please do so as we stand and as we sing.